What's up, guys? Good to be with you. I'm here with Brian Klontz. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm glad you came on. We're going to talk about your Race to Life story.
Absolutely.
And so people, just about who you are, having all these guests on this week, you are a deacon here at New Vision.
Yes, sir.
We were talking a little bit before we recorded. You have some church staff history as well.
Yeah, I've worked for a couple different churches before. I've been a school teacher for several years.
I need to say this, that I believe in the power of the gospel. Do you know why?
Why?
Because you drive a Tesla. And we're friends.
Oh, we're not going to start this, are we?
And I love you, and you're my friend.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, teach his own.
Internal combustion for life.
That's okay. Anyway. Hey, listen, there's plenty of people with internal combustion that I see in my rearview every day. Every day.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I'll just go ahead and turn it over to you. We're talking about when we got saved and then a little bit about when we got dunked.
Sure.
Or immersion. And so,
well, my story's going to sound a little different. I like to tell people that I was born on a pew. I was raised in church. My grandfather was a pastor in McMinnville, Tennessee. I've always been in church. I don't remember a time in my life where I wasn't in church. And so it looks a little different because I didn't have that definitive, you know, change. I didn't stop. You know, I got saved when I was 5. I didn't quit smoking or drinking or carousing at 5. So, and the problem with that is for me is I didn't remember. To be honest with you, when people ask you, when did you get saved? That's a hard question for me.
Because a lot of people wrestle with that.
And I wrestled with it for the majority of my life. I struggled terribly sitting in the pew. I went to a Christian school from kindergarten to 12th grade. I was raised in a very legalistic, form of Christianity. And so I struggled with, am I good enough? You know, if I sin, what are the consequences? Am I sure I'm saved? Because I struggled with that. And I can remember as a kid so many times sitting there going, Lord, if I'm not saved, save me. Lord, if I'm not saved, save me.
Man,
and that was
a hard way to live.
It was. It was a very difficult way to live until I was about, I would say about 18. And a few things happened in my life that really helped. For one, I heard the testimony of a guy that was a lot like me. And he said, I finally got to the point where I went, Lord, I'm not asking you anymore. He said, if I'm not saved, it's not my fault.
Wow.
And I thought, you know what? That's exactly how I feel. I have confessed with my mouth. I believe in you. You are my Lord and Savior. I'm not asking anymore.
Yeah.
And from that point out, I was good. It was just, I had to definitively say, I know where my faith is.
Yeah.
It's in Jesus Christ. The exact time and day, I don't know. But Adrian Rogers helped me with that too. I was reading a book by Adrian Rogers, and he said, there are two ways to get to Florida. He said, you can drive into Florida. And when you get to Florida, you'll see a sign that says, welcome to Florida. And you'll know exactly when you crossed into Florida. He said, and then you could fly into Florida. He said, and you'll land in Florida. But when you transitioned from Florida to where you were, you don't know exactly.
Man, that's a great
But
analogy.
You know that you're in Florida.
Yeah, because it's not a, getting saved isn't a process.
Mm-hmm.
But
no,
you are at a point in time. Definitely over the state line. In
yes.
The airport, like you definitely got you into Florida.
At some point, I left Tennessee. I'm about to fly out this weekend. And we're headed to Florida. And I will leave Florida. I mean, I will leave Tennessee. And I will be in Florida. I can't tell you the minute that changes. I don't know. But I know when I land, that's where I'm at.
Man, and that's so, really helpful. I'm sure a lot of people need to hear that.
And that's where I'm at. That's where my faith is. My faith is in Christ. I confess in my mouth, I trust in my heart. That's all that's required of me, and so I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Did you go through a period of, I know you went through maybe the assurance issue, but later in life, people say backsliding or...
Sure. Well, yeah, absolutely, and I struggle with that. What I was raised in is if you didn't go to Christian college, then God couldn't use you.
Whew.
And so I went to a Christian college for a semester. And to be honest with you, I had a lot of issues. I had a lot of attachment issues growing up. Had a hard time being away from home. And so I came back home and I felt very backslidden. I felt like God couldn't use me. I didn't know what I was going to do. And honestly, I signed up for another Christian school, but I couldn't go at the time. And I didn't want to stop going to college. So I signed up and went to MTSU.
Oh, cool.
And there, some friends of mine that I had met introduced me to the Baptist Student Union. And I thought, what's funny is I thought all Baptists were the same. And so I grew up in this legalistic system where you cut your hair a certain way, you wear the certain clothes.
Is this the one that you have to read a certain version
of the Bible? You have to read a certain version of the Bible. Absolutely.
It's very stringent. Okay.
Very, yes. There is no other version. All right. It's the only version.
We're tracking with you.
And so I went to the Baptist Student Union, and there I saw guys that didn't dress like me. They didn't cut their hair like me. They didn't listen to the same music that I did. They didn't read the same version of the Bible that I did, but they loved the Lord more than I did. Hmm. And something didn't mesh. It didn't connect. I didn't understand it. And it took me 20 years to get to understand the rules versus relationship concept of Christ. You know, for years I tried to follow the rules and not develop the relationship that I had a relationship, but I didn't develop the relationship that I needed with Christ until later in my life, you know, until late 30s, early 40s, that I realized that, you know what, no matter how well I keep the rules, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
It's just not going to matter.
And God's grace alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this might be a little off topic, and if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine.
Go for it.
I was just curious, like, how you have dealt with, like, resentment and bitterness towards the tradition in which you grew up with.
Well, you have to understand, they love the Lord. It's not... It's hard. This is a hard one. I'll be honest with you. They love the Lord, and it's not that they're doing wrong. That is
potentially doing wrong.
They don't do it with malice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not doing it to hurt me. You know what I'm saying? I think their theology is skewed. Will they go to heaven? Absolutely. Well, do people get saved there? Absolutely.
Amen.
You know, that's the dogma that is the relationship. They may not say vice versa for me. They may say, you know, I'm reading the wrong version of the Bible, then I obviously can't be right with the Lord. I don't say that about them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's okay. You want to read that version? That's fine. People get saved every day. That's great. So when you look at it, God dealt with a lot of people that did not necessarily act or, you know,
off base on certain theological
things. Yes, that were off base, but he loved them anyway. Yeah. And he didn't hold it against them. And I don't hold it against them either. You know, it's they love the Lord. Some of them love the Lord probably more than I do. You know what I mean? They just, I disagree in their, I have a different vantage point,
Absolutely.
If you will. So,
man, thank you for, I think there's so much there. Like your struggle early on with assurance and then also coming out of a different tradition that has a potential for people to fall away and whatever. I think a lot of people listening can identify, even if it's not the same tradition or the exact same childhood, can identify with that. And well, God's grace pulling us along like he did with you.
I appreciate that. I hope so. I hope that if anything, people understand that it's a relationship. It's a walk. It's daily walk with Christ. It doesn't matter what you look like or how you cut your hair. He wants to know your heart. And so,
that's awesome.
Anyway.
Well, we've been saying as we close out these episodes that when was Brian Klontz raised to life? And you...
Yeah.
No, at some point, I was in Florida.
Using that analogy,
at some point, you recognized that despite all the things that were going on in your life, you realized there's fruit in your life, that God has changed you. And then, just really quickly, when did you get immersed?
I did it twice because I got baptized.
That's part of that story.
When I was five, I remember that because I got baptized in a creek and it was freezing.
Wow.
And that's really my only recollection. But then... when I got my assurance, I would say assurance. I knew I was saved. I went ahead and got immersed again when I was about 18.
That's awesome to show that, like, I knew what I was doing.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for telling all the story of that. I'm sure there's so much more that you could give us. And
I appreciate it. Thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's my raised to life story.
Thanks. Y'all have a great day, and we'll see you on the next episode.